Okay, today is May 21st, 2001, and my name is Bill Schultz, and I'm here with Mr. Sherman Wooten, who is going to be telling us about his experiences at Pine Mountain Settlement School. And Sherman, when did you first attend Pine Mountain? How old are you now, and when did you first go to Pine Mountain?
Well, I'm 91 years old now, and I went to Pine Mountain when I was 13 years old, and stayed there till 1927, which I spent quite a bit of time there. I've learned a lot about different ways of living. We raised most everything that we eat up there, except in a few things, and then we did carpenter work. We was directed by a man by the name of Lou Gisanti. He come up there and helped build most all of the buildings around Pine Mountain School there. And under him, I learned a lot about carpenter work. And for a long time there, we built tables. The school had a sawmill over there that really nobody knew about, and we had a bunch of walnut timber, and they sawed it up, and they was making tables that was shipped out to New York and places to help raise money for the school. And that's where I kind of got the foundation of learning about finishing furniture.
And did you meet Mr. Zondi when you first got there or to Pine Mountain, or did you meet him after a few years?
Well, he was there, best I remember, he was there when I first went there. I worked, I did most of the housekeeping when I first went there. I helped, some of the children that lived in the building had to do the cleaning and sweeping of the floors and everything, and I started out on that, and then I went out into then I worked in the gardens a lot. We raised like one year I can remember we had we raised enough potatoes to do us a whole year that we had almost an acre of Irish potatoes, and that was part of our life there, was maintained and learned to live. In the meantime, they had the boys' workshop down there pretty close to the swimming pool, and I got moved into that finally and got started doing on that carpenter work. That's when I learned all about different ways of making furniture, and we had to maintain the buildings also. If a pane of glass got broke out, we had to go and re-putty it and so forth.
Did Mr. Zondi oversee those things?
He was always in charge of everything there.
And what kind of a man? I know he was Italian. What kind of a man was he? What was his personality like?
Well, as I remember about, he was always the man in charge of whatever was going on, and he was a blue-eyed Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And he met Mrs. DeLong, and they had two children. Oh, I was up there, Berto, and I forget the little girl's name, but they raised those kids there. But it was a pretty long life there for me. And in the summertime, part of the summer, I'd go back to work with my dad on Health Certain Creek down there. We had a pretty big farm there, and we had to raise everything we eat, and had to do it in the summertime. But
Was he a nice man, or was he a hard worker?
He was a hard worker, but he was also, I guess everybody had a lot of respect for him. He was magistrate for some time, and then, but he, when he sent us children all the way, he lived there by himself about all the winter, you know. Part of us kids went to Oneida, and part to Pine Mountain at that time. And then later, after I left Pine Mountain, I went to, I got started in high school. I went to five different high schools. And I went to Oneida, Buckhorn, Redbird, and Thousand Sticks, and then here, back here at Hyden, graduated. But in the meantime, that Pine Mountain place up there was should have been kept up as a school instead of the county, for some reason, dropped it when the, I guess they run out of funds to keep it up or something. But it, I had left out of there, and I was off in the Navy when they closed that up, and I went off in the Navy in the 1933, mm-hmm. And shortly after that, I guess, is when they closed the school up. I never kept up with it.
1949, I think, when they
did
the boarding schools.
Oh, closed. Yeah. They should have it open today. Should find some way to re-establish that as a high school out there, because there's so many children has to leave out there to go elsewhere to high school, and it's kind of a handicap to them. But the kids from all down Greasy Creek, the Big Laurel, Little Laurel,
mm-hmm.
and all that area used to walk up to Pine Mountain School there.
Mm-hmm. And were you there at Pine Mountain when they were building the chapel? Or was that?
I helped work on the chapel.
Really?
Yeah, they had, and my brother Don was, he was, at that time, part of his job was riding the old horse over to pick up the mail at old L. Nolan's place over there, was where the Pine Mountain post office was. And then also, if they did anything with the team of mules they had, well, Don was in charge of that. And he, they made a rock sled, and back of the chapel up on the hill there, they broke up a big stone rock and broke those rocks up and so forth. And then he hauled, I don't know how many of them, but he hauled an awful lot of them down the hill there for the, at that time when they were building that chapel. And but I did some work around this, some of the, helped make a little handy work around the, when they was put the trim work on it and so forth.
Did you do any of the, I don't know what you call it, but the carving of the, making the rock stones, the...
No, I didn't have to do nothing with them at all. But meantime, I watched them doing it and so forth. They had different fellows come in around there, local men,
mm-hmm.
that knew how to do that. And they, I know how to do that. I know, I watched them how to do it. And I've seen it around here. We had down on Elk Certain down there, we had a man by the name of Howard Asher come down there and broke the stone right close to our house there, and then we hauled him in and laid up on chimney. And then after I went off in the Navy, my dad had another chimney built in their house from them rock stones.
Hmm.
But it's something, kind of a thing of a past around this country here, making cut stones.
Yeah. How many men were working on the chapel at one time?
Well, I could never say, but they have, they had, when they was laying them up, they had kind of a, like a working, they didn't pay anybody to do that. They might have paid them a little bit, but in the meantime, they'd have kind of a working lighting, and then they come out there, and then these enough men, they just would stack them up.
And that must have been a sight to see, and interesting to watch too.
Well, they put something in the chapel up there, and then after I went back later, there was some outfit from New York that gave them. Did you ever hear of a pipe organ?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, they had a pipe organ in one end of that chapel up there that was really played beautiful music over it, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
And there was different things that disappeared out of that chapel that somebody come and got them. But they're not in there now.
Like over the years that happened?
Yeah, and they had a big chandelier. They had several lights in one big thing hung down in there, and he's gone. And then a couple of things hanging on the side of the wall that was originally put in there seemed to disappear. And I helped, they put in seats. They was built right there. All the seats in that chapel was built right up there in the boys' workshop in there and placed in. I worked some on that a little bit.
Oh, on the chapel, the seats in there, you worked on those?
Yeah. Hmm.
And where did you live on campus while you were at Pine Mountain?
Where did I live?
What buildings did you live
boys
in?
Boys dormitory.
Oh, okay.
The boys, it's right in the middle part of it there.
Yeah.
We had them. When we'd have a fire drill in, we had a big 1.5 inch, a 1/8 inch quarter cable hanging on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've got a ladder built upside. We had that cable. We lived upstairs there, you know, if they had a fire alarm, we'd jump out on that, and then down that we'd go and hit the ground.
Oh, yeah. So you were there for how many years?
It's, well, off and on for 5 years.
5 years, yeah. Okay. And were there other buildings being built also besides the chapel?
The girls' industrial building, the boys' dormitory, the boys' workshop was built. It was pretty well finished up when I first went there, and then they built the girls' industrial building where they teach weaving and all kinds of sewing classes and all that stuff. All the girls worked in there.
Mm-hmm.
The boys never had nothing to do with much of that or anything, but that was, I don't know, Zondi was more or less in charge of that, but they had some outside men coming. Put that together.
Okay.
Do most all the work on that.
What was a normal day like while you were a student there? How early did you get up, and what kind of work did you have to do? And
that's a good question.
tell me about that a little bit.
Well. The bell rang at about 6:30 in the morning, and you had to get up, quick, wash yourself up and get ready to go, and we had to walk from the dormitory, from the boys' dormitory, over to Laurel's house, which was in kind of the central, right up close to the swimming pool there, and we had when we got through working. When we got through eating, then we would go to class pretty soon. This is when the school was going on. And then at about 11:30, they rang the bell for dinner, lunchtime, and we had to go out of the school building to go down to eat and then back. And then as soon as we get through eating, they give us a 30-minute rest period. You had to be quiet wherever you're at. And I've learned that there, and I still got a habit. As soon as I eat in the day, for some reason or other, I get sleepy. I guess it's kind of caused from that. And then we went to school. We went to school 4 hours, and then we worked 4 hours. And that was on a Saturday, we had to work 7 hours. Sunday, we had to see that the cows was all milked and then staked out we had to take them out to where the grass was and stake them on Sunday. As part of our job. But this went on for all the summertime. But that was, but that 4 hour school and 4 hours working was something different that you never hear tell that was going on in any part of the country anymore. But that we had to work, that was, I think that our, we only had to pay like $12 to go to that, to get into that school at that time. That was our entrance. But the work there was, then 4 hours we had to, in the summertime, of course we was gone part-time. Some of us was go home for a while and then come back, but in the wintertime it was a four-hour thing, four on and four off all the time. And the school, then, the school was only 7 months out of the year. It wasn't a 9 month school. That was, I don't know when they started that 9 month stuff, but anything, it was the reason for that 7 months was to give the children a chance to help garden in the summertime. They cut off early in the spring and stay 4 months.
So a lot of kids would stay and help work in the garden and that sort of thing.
We had, I was, at one time, I was broke loose from everything else and put in charge of the poultry yard, which is raising up the chickens and taking care of them until they was killed off. They would order, back then, from Tennessee, there was a place where they sell those baby chicks, and they'd send a whole bunch of them up there to the post office, and we'd pick them up and bring them over there and put them in. One end of the chicken house was fixed for the baby chicks, and then we raised them up till they was laying, and then they was put into a section where the hens took care of laying their eggs for the whole school. And then as soon as they quit laying, I'd have to separate them every so often, and then we put the ones that wasn't laying in them in the last pen, and then fatten them for to eat. And then every Sunday morning, most every Sunday morning, I had to kill 12 hens. 12 chickens. I'd take a little hatchet-like and cut their heads off and take them down there, and the girls would clean them and get them ready for dinner.
So you just killed them, but you didn't have to clean them?
No, I didn't have to do nothing but cut their heads off, and I'd put them in a sack and then take them down to the Laurel House down there where the girls worked them over.
What other animals were there?
They had anywhere from like, I'd say 9 was about the smallest number, up to about 12, 13 head of milk cows. And then they had that's what they had in the way of And they had a big pair of mules, and then they had that one horse, and then they had a few head of sheep, but they run out open in the field all the time. We never kept them around the barn. Mm. Just turn them loose on the hillside there.
Did they have a way of how did they recognize whose sheep were whose?
Well, that's happened all over the county everywhere. As back then, they didn't have any fences in them mountains and the roads and so forth. And the sheep knew where they belonged because you had to feed them. They get raised up at one place, and that's where they've always stayed. They just go out pasture around enough to eat something, and then they'll come back and sleep in that one place. There's a big cliff right below the Pine Mountain School there, and end up come down Laurel a little ways, and that's where the some of our sheep used to hang out right in there.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I was curious about, I forget what year this was, but I remember, I think it was sometime in the mid-20s that Frances Johnson, did you know her by any chance? About 1924 or 25, she discovered the Indian skeletons in that rock shelter. Were you there when that happened? Or?
I might have been, but I can't remember too much about it. I was there. I come there just shortly after that woman was killed that was murdered over there across the Pine Mountain over there on Layden Trail.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
You didn't?
No.
Well, I guess they keep quiet. Well, they was then. He was a veterinarian that come up there to check the stock out and so forth. And coming across that hill where this woman was coming into Pine Mountain over there. And
on foot or on horseback?
Yeah, walk across there. And he got up with her over there. And as you go across Pine Mountain, that used to be a walkway, the Layden Trail, and then they built, at the time this happened, they had a bunch of prisoners, mostly colored people, grading this road. They hand-graded that road across, made a kind of a wagon road to haul stuff from Layden and Putney over there,
mm-hmm.
haul across that hill, and that the trail leaves the wagon road and comes right up over these big cliffs along there. And the trail follows right along the edge of that. And underneath it is quite a fall down there.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up, they found this woman where she'd been murdered and pitched over this. And she lodged kind of on a little ledge right down just before she went over the main big fall.
Mm-hmm.
They found her there then, and he gave them a story and so forth. They had an indictment against one of them colored guys up there, and then they proved it wasn't him, and they later found out that he had done different criminal acts like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So was she? She wasn't an employee of Pine Mountain.
She was some business woman or something like that. I forget her name and everything, but
yeah.
Some woman is coming over there to do something for the school. Miss Pettit. we used to have to go across that mountain over there and walk from she'd go out to Lexington where home was, you know, on her train, and they'd come up over there and stop, and we'd have to go over there at Layden, and when she get off the train there, we'd have to walk her back across the mountain over there. Have to walk with her.
Oh, you walked with her across?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Help her carry maybe a little luggage she had or something.
Now, about how long of a walk was that?
Boy, it's a whole day thing.
Really?
Yeah, to go up that mountain and then down and into to the railroad station there, which there was. It was just a stop place, flag stop. There was no big station or anything.
Did she choose who walked with her, or how did you get to go walk with her?
Well, they would send one of us from the school there. I mean, whoever was in charge that day, they'd know when she's coming in, and they'd send us over. This one time I went over there, and she didn't show up at all. I had to come back by myself. It was real late at night when I come back in. Most frightening thing that's ever happened to me was I was coming up that laden trail, and there's a down below underneath there, it's a long drive, a walkway from where it starts all the way up through there, and there was a one of them big bobcats screaming and hollering down there, had me scared. I was probably 16 when that happened.
I can imagine that would have been scary.
Well, see, she missed the train she was supposed to be on, and then it was about 2 hours till another one come along, three, and I waited for that. It was dark. Mm. I remember my supper. What I ate then, I bought Baby Ruth candy bars. That's what I eat for supper then. It was real good. Baby Ruth.
Okay, let me turn this tape over. So hold on 1 second. Okay, speaking of Miss Pettit, what kind of a lady was she? I've heard that she could be pretty tough sometimes, but she was also very nice. And what do you remember about her,
well,
Sherman?
Well, you about told the story then. she was real tough. She was more or less in charge of the details. We had to go out cleaning up the side of a hillside or something like that. She was the one who was in charge. And I saw her one day. We was working away, and this one boy took a hatchet and hacked a couple of spots on a little dogwood tree. And she was hollering at him, and he hit a couple more licks, and she took a stick and racked him right over the top of the head with it. No kidding, that scared everybody. But she was a hard person to work for. I never was. Most of the time when I worked out in the field, I was under Bill Browning. He was he come in there as over the farming and taking care of the farm part of the school there, and he was real good to work with. And we had some boys that they had one man that come from Berea. I forgot his name, but he'd come out there and tell Bill Browning what to do on the farming and everything. At that time, Pine Mountain was kind of considered a part of the Berea College. It was kind of a subsidiary of the Berea. Mm-hmm. But meantime, that man would come out there every so often and tell old Bill what to do. But they was boys that graduated from there that went off, and they go to Berea and get their education and then go on to universities. We had two or three fellows that I knew that was did real well after they left there. That's Bill was Holcomb, that Holcomb boy, when he got through at Berea out there, they put him in charge of woodwork at Berea there for a long time, and they, I guess they didn't know enough to, when there was dusting, running these sands and stuff, or a lot of dusting, and he got a lung problem and died off shortly after he was working there. And then Bill Dawn, he graduated from Brill out there, and he went on to Texas Law School. And then he come back, and he was employed by the Knoxville, at Knoxville, Tennessee. He was the director of the highway part down there. He was had that job for a number of years, and then he was kind of in charge of the bypass that the Highway 75 bypasses Knoxville now. And when he first went there, it went right to Knoxville, and he made the plans to get it directed around there. That was old Bill Dawn. He married one of them rich gals from Brill out there, and then after he died off, she moved back to Brill. But I was down there at that place. Last time I saw him, I was chosen to go to the World's Fair to demonstrate my work down there in 1982. They paid me $5.75 a week down there to come down and show people how I made rocking chairs. And old Bill Dawn, he come out to see me one day from where he lived there in Knoxville.
Did you also know Ethel DeLong or Ethel DeLong Zondi?
Very well.
What can you tell me about
her? She was more or less the business director up there and so forth, and she sent me away from there. They come a big fire around the Pine Mountain there, and us boys was assigned to the area. We raked a fire ring all the way around our property. There's 90 acres there. And we raked the fire break around that, and we had to watch it for a few days because the timbers around would possibly break over at night or something other, but we had to keep after that all the time. And Sunday morning, this one Sunday morning, we were supposed to stake the cows out, and I didn't go out. That was part of my job though at that time. When they reported me down there to her, well, then she walked right up to the boys' dormitory there and had Miss Gaunt give me an order to get out. I'll never forget her.
What, was she a nice lady or?
I guess she was, but I didn't know her too well. Most of the people I knew was just the school teachers, and Miss Gaunt was in charge of the boys' dormitory then.
Okay. Made sure it stayed clean and that sort of thing?
Yeah, Miss Gaunt gave me, when I left there, she gave me $2.50, and I promised to mail it back to her, and I never did get up with her no more.
I'm not sure if this was around this time or not, but what about Mary Rockwell Hook, the architect? Did you ever get a chance to meet her?
No.
I know that she designed some of the buildings there, but I don't remember.
Yeah, well,
that was.
Probably that's true, but meantime, I can't remember this name, but there's one. One fellow come there that knew him, told a lot of stories and so forth, and he knew the juggling act, how to juggle balls. And then they ordered a barrel of those cheap baseballs from New York, sent down there to us. But in the meantime, we got started juggling those balls, and all these boys was given so many of them balls, and they keep working with them. Well, I was, at that time, I was in charge of the cleaning up of the dormitory there, and they had a one room in it, was a gym floor, where it was kind of a gymnasium place. And they, When I get my work done, I quick work it over and I get out there and start practicing them balls, juggling them balls. And when the contest come along, they give $5 to the winner and I win that $5. Oh, it made all them other guys, old Bill Dawn and Harrison Holcomb and them fellows, they was mad. They thought they was real good, you know, and then I come up and I was the only one could run. I could run four balls and get started with five at that time.
That's a good story.
I can't juggle now because of my vision. I see something there and it looks like it's here when it's about there. It don't bother me driving on the road or anything, but I can't. And it's just like when I'm doing carpenter work.
Yeah.
I miss my nails too often to try to do any carpenter work anymore. Mm-hmm. I helped build this stuff here. Helped my boy come from South Carolina and did this work.
Oh.
And that bridge out there we spent.
Yeah, you built the bridge here?
Yeah. So see the end of that tree right there?
Yeah.
Well, that was, the tree was sitting on across the branch over there and we cut it down. My old porch just come to here and then the bridge was sitting out over there. We tore the old bridge down, put a new one up, and that's what the bridge is laying on now.
Uh-huh.
I put a couple of timbers under it, mm-hmm. to keep it from buckling up and down.
Can you think of any other stories or anything else you'd like to tell about Pine Mountain or anyone you knew there, anything that happened or anything at all?
Well, there's one thing that people don't know about there, but that whole mountain back of the water system up there is full of caves, and in the wintertime you see the steam coming out of them, and us boys would kind of mark where that steam was coming out, and then we'd go, and when it got summertime, when we'd have some weekends and so forth, we'd go up and we'd go into them caves and so forth.
Interesting.
There was three different places up there we could crawl in and get in there, and what we'd do, we'd take a piece of twine and we'd tie that to ourselves, and then we'd go through and for to keep and get lost in there.
Although they were that big that you could get
you get in there and go this way, you go that way, and that whole mountain in there is just nothing but just shales.
Did you ever run in any animals or any scary situations there?
No. Well, speaking of running into animals, when I was in this uranium business in California out there, we was going to different places where they had these gold mines and gold shafts and stuff, and we went to this one place, and this guy was with me. He wanted to go back into this shaft to see how far it was in there, and he got back in there a long ways. And I'm waiting for him to come back out. And here comes one of them big bobcats. He was actually looked like a small mountain lion. but he come out there tearing. Oh man, that was the scariest thing ever was. Lord, he come out there. He said, I'll never go in another hole like that. I don't know how far he was back in there. He's probably maybe 20 yards or so, or 30. And here come that cat. That boy went over the hill.
That's funny too. Oh, well, one other thing I just thought of to ask you: what things do you notice most about difference in, for instance, what the Pine Mountain campus looks like now compared to what it looked like before, when you were there as a student?
Well, when I was there, all of those places that growed up around there, back of the infirmary,
mm-hmm.
That was a little house set up there, and they was four girls assigned to that base. And they had, that's where the girls, they'd send them there to learn to be self-sufficient.
A practice house?
Yeah, to be housekeepers and live in life. That was, they took care of the whole thing. They had a cow to milk for themselves and everything. But meantime, the whole thing has changed. They've all grown up around there, and the path, all the fields and everything was all just gardens then, plumb up. And then, of course, they changed it. They had the, do they still, they have a gymnasium there then?
No.
We played basketball right up by the, and then there was a railroad track that went right up through by the swimming pool there.
Oh, yeah.
It come down, come out of the head of that branch there, and then went all the way down to a Little Laurel.
Hmm.
Went up Little Laurel way. And they bringing them big logs out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But all that whole area through there is all just more or less kind of growed up.
Like with trees and plants?
Yeah,
and things.
Yeah. On the areas where we, and all of that little, that knoll down there, Strawberry Hill Knoll, that used to be just a strawberry patch.
Is that the one where when you drive into campus, it's on the right side?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like a big hill.
Yeah, and then all the way around the back end, it had bean patches, corn, and everything plumb around. And then you go around, and then there's a big building on top of the mountain back up there now, where people go up to have a boarding house or something up there. Where you're
on that strawberry knoll?
No. It's on the strawberry mold here, and then is a place goes through there where they took the sewage system.
Oh yeah.
They had the trouble with the sewage system 5 years ago or something. But then up that hill there is where that big house. You know, you go up by the church.
Yeah.
And go around to that big house.
Oh, yeah. Well,
plumb around below that in there was all just grazing land for the cows. We take them back in there. And up, there's a kind of a field up through there, quite a ways up through there. We use it for pasture land for the for the cows and everything. But it's everything is completely changed around there as far as the looks of the place.
Hmm.
And the one school building, the big schoolhouse, was it burned down years ago.
Hmm.
And there's different changes. And then I don't know, do they have the workshop going there or anything more for the boys?
There's a workshop, like a wood shop.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that's in, I forget what that building was. I think that would have been, it's called Draper now. It's the one that's right across from the pool.
Uh-huh.
On down, if you,
yeah.
The office is on the left and you go up and the pool's on the right and then the first building, big one on the left.
Yeah.
That's Draper now. Was that girls' dorm before or what was that?
Well, that was, that building was, It looks to me, I think it was built after I left there.
Oh, okay.
And the boys, when you walk down by the swimming pool, then you walk over just a little ways to the left, and the boys' workshop then was sitting kind of on the side of that bank right in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I guess, is there anything else you can think of? Anything at all, and if not, then I guess we can call this an afternoon. But if there's anything else you'd like to tell about, go right ahead.
No, nothing. I can think of so many other things, but in the meantime, it's kind of hard to.
Okay.
But I mean, really.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Sherman. Thanks for your time.
Well, there's one thing I did. I didn't put in there, but see, they had an infirmary there.
Mm-hmm.
That the children would get sick or anything, they had a nurse there. It was a Chinese nurse by name Miss Sudo, and she took care of the kids. And then they had there was a doctor who lived down at Big Laurel that used to come up there if there was any serious things happened to kids and so forth. But that was one of the best things that they ever had around there was that the infirmary where they, if you got sick at all, that's where you went up and they had the boys in here and they had the girls over here.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really a great thing that the school kept up there.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Okay. Well, again, thank you very much.
Well, it's a real nice to. I'm a much better worker than I am a speaker. I never was a public speaker in my lifetime. So
you did great.
But